Good morning. I hear that we're live. I'd like to welcome everybody. And Be'ezrat Hashem, come next week, we'd like to welcome everybody back. Be'ezrat Hashem, the plans are to have this share both live and online, live stream. Thus, everyone, based on their own personal preference and situation, are welcome to either come back to the share, which we have not been able to do in mass since before COVID. Yeshiva planned out that the share would be in the auditorium, which you could easily access separately from the rest of the building. There's an entrance in the front of the building where you could just go in straight into the room and don't have to enter any other part of the building. So we definitely hope to see people back. At the same time, we understand those who can't make it and will do it online. But just the ability to be able to give a share live with a live audience, besides the few Talmidim listening here, is a big deal. And we are very much looking forward to greeting everyone that comes. So pass on the word, hope to get it out, the messaging out this week. But Be'ezrat Hashem, we are open for business come next week, which is 2 weeks post Pesach. In terms of today's share we entitled Moving Dangerous Objects in Shabbos. Pretty straightforward. Clear situation, but I guess my goal is to make sure it's clear halacha. Probably the most challenging areas of halacha are situations where it's emotionally charged. You know, chas v'shalom, a person has an emergency on Shabbos. You know, someone has to go to the hospital, they have to call tzala. So those are the type of things which, you know, when emotions run high, sometimes it's like hard if a person's not clear in the halacha of making the right decisions. What do you do? What don't you do? And it's not just limited to issues of health and hatzalah, you know, medical aid situations. You know, if there are other situations, dangerous, and that get people's blood pressure going. You know, could be for some people, a woman sees a bug in the house. You know, there's some men too, right? Oh my gosh, everything goes crazy. A bug! Okay, what do we do halakhically in this situation? And I think dangerous objects lying around are also the cause, obviously, for concern. But it also gets people emotionally charged. And once you have that, you sort of have to, like, let the dust settle, let's get the clarity. What can we do in this situation, halakhically, to solve the issues? And the goal of today's share, hopefully, is that the more clarity that we have ahead of time, coming into these situations come up, finding dangerous objects on Shabbos, it happens. Probably happens, you know, probably too often than we'd like it to. And figuring out, you know, what to do in those situations. Now, I want to just offer some of the topics, give you a little appetizer. What topics are we talking about this morning? Talking about dangerous objects. So obviously, you know, you have shards of glass, a whole big box of thumbtacks fall over the floor. You know, there are lots of dangerous, you know, you're walking somehow, you know, those stores have those grates which cover up the entrance to the cellar, to the basement, where stores usually keep things, those grates. Let's say one of those grates opened up. Little, the cover is loose. Someone could fall in. Another pit. I think in this neighborhood, by a certain shul, they have these like, I think they're like septic tank manhole covers. And I think there was a story a few years ago on Shabbos, kids running around. I don't know how it got loose in the first place. It also could have been kids playing. But there's some story of a kid on Shabbos falling into this septic tank area. Yeah, not a good thing. Obviously dangerous. Do that. We'll talk about, you know, let's say pills fall on the floor. Dangerous with kids around. So there really are so many scenarios of things on Shabbos, which we'll see, really all over, which could be dangerous situations, and trying to figure out what's the proper halakhic approach. What can we do? What can't we do on Shabbos? Doesn't automatically mean that, oh, there's something dangerous here. We can do whatever we want in terms of halakhic Shabbos. When it comes to areas of health, pikuach nefesh, as we know, is dosa Shabbos. So, okay, someone's life is on the line with dosa Shabbos. Here, we're not necessarily at that point. Usually not at that point. Right? There's just a dangerous object somewhere, and you have to figure out, okay, what do I do about it? You know, if someone fell on it, someone's, you know, in a dangerous health situation, okay, then for sure one could call Hatzalah, could do whatever they want to help the person. But we're not up to that yet. We're in a dangerous situation. So what is one allowed to do, what is one not allowed to do? That's what I'd like to explore today. So this really comes up in Simen Shin Ches in Or HaChaim in two spots. I put one of the spots on the sheet. The second one I didn't put on the sheet due to the fact that the Mishnah Berurah quotes it. But let's begin. I'll start from Sif Yud Ches. I'm going to go back to Sif Vav. Mechaber writes, Kotz HaMunach B'Rishus HaRabim. Mechaber gives as an example, what's something dangerous? A thorn. Our practical, a thumbtack. Something with sharp edges protruding. A small thing with sharp edges protruding that's in the public domain on Shabbos. One would be allowed to carry it, carry little by little, but not full stride carrying something in the Rishus HaRabim. That there would not be a heter to do, but you could do it little by little, step by step, but not walking straight and violating the din of carrying something for Amos in Rosh Hashanah. Obviously, we're talking about a place where there's no Erev. With a Carmelis, if it's not a Rosh Hashanah, it's a more private domain, smaller spot. Mutul Taltal Lehedja, then one would be allowed to carry it. Yishim Nechayshinon, because we're afraid, Shema Yisku Bo Rabin, maybe the masses could get damaged by this. And where the masses could get damaged, the rabbis never made an issur d'rabbanan of carrying in a carmelis. That's what the Mechaber says. Now, the scenario that the Mechaber of the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, he's dealing with an issur of carrying in the Rishus HaRabim. So he's giving a heter, if it's not Rishus HaRabim, one can carry it. And in the Rishus HaRabim, you have something lying in the middle of a major street where it's possible for people to get damaged. I didn't see here, you know, it's interesting. If it's a major thoroughfare, you find something, you're walking down the street in Manhattan, you live in Manhattan, and you're walking down the street there, that's a good Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Now, I didn't see anyone distinguish who's getting damaged, Jews or non-Jews. I'm not sure it matters. It could be, one could argue, if you're walking in the street in Manhattan and you find something in the street. No. We're not talking about the Lower East Side from a century ago. We're talking about modern-day Manhattan. Sure, there's tons of guys everywhere you turn. Now, I know people don't, we'll see in a second, people, unless they're videoing something, people usually don't pay attention to what's going on in the world. But you might be able to stop somebody and just say, hey, you know, something dangerous over there. You want to take care of it, you know. Why don't you do it? It's my Sabbath. You can't bend down and pick it up. It's complicated. Not an easy thing to explain to a random stranger, you know, on the street. But let's talk. You find it in the middle of the street in Muncie. Yidden everywhere. What does one do? So again, depending if it's a Rosh Rabbim or a Carmelist, if it's a Carmelist, which is probably what the streets of Muncie are, one would be allowed to be metaltal it because we're afraid that people are going to get damaged. It might be a weird scene, right? All of a sudden they see somebody, you know, walking down the street holding this like shards of glass in their hand, collecting on Shabbos. You probably have some people scream, Shabbos! Shabbos! But someone who knows halacha wouldn't scream such a thing. It's befeirish, it's the Shulchan Aruch. Like, what do you want me to do? It says in the law, it's dangerous, people can get hurt. It's Shkiki Bo Rabbah. We'll see a little bit later what's considered a Rabbah. And one would be allowed to move it from the street on Shabbos. You don't have to necessarily move it, take it all the way home. You could just put it in a safe spot. But the main idea is to get rid of the michshol, of the danger, in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. Now, if you look back, I'm talking to myself, turning the pages of Shulchan Aruch, in Siv Vav, there, the Ramah comments about something breaking. The Nishmer B'Malkim Shirchol Mahazik. If something breaks in a spot where it could do damage, we go in Zchukhiyas, Shinishmer Al Shulchan. You have glass that broke on the table. Right? Something happened and your wine bottle broke all over the table. B'Malkim Shirchol, or in a place where you're going. Mutter Taltal Hashvarim, one would be allowed to move the broken pieces, Kedei Lefnosan, to clear it away. Shlo Yizikul Behem, and that people will not get damaged. Now, we know broken things, usually on Shabbos, are muksa. And thus, here in the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah, is bringing up a second issue involved, besides if it's in a public domain, or even a Carmelist, so there's carrying issues in Shabbos. But another area which dangerous object can involve with is muksa. Something broke on Shabbos, that object is muksa. So one wouldn't be allowed to move it because of danger. So the Ramah writes 100%. One would be allowed to be metaltal it to make sure that he's able to prevent people from getting damaged. Now, so far we have two different scenarios, carrying and muksa items, which mutter for you to move. The Chafetz Chaim, if you look in Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Ayin Zayin, makes a nice, interesting distinction. He was talking by our case of carrying the Rosh Hashanah Rabbah or in Carmelis. V'hadi isa le'el v'siv vav v'hagav dim yeh shivri zchuchos v'bayis mut lo sakol v'nosam. You're allowed to move it away. Af shistam bayis ein matzah bo rabim kol kach. Most houses are not open to the public. And you don't have tremendous amount of people there. From the halacha in Sivav, sounds like the heter applies not just if there's many people get damaged by it. Something falls in your house, you and your wife are the only ones home. Glass breaks. Can you move in on Shabbos? The Ramah didn't distinguish whether they're robbing there or not. How come? So Zakta Mishabura, very nice idea. Shamu Ras Rak Isser Muksa. Because in Sivav, we're just talking about an Isser of Muksa. The Isser Tilted Al Amos, but Carmel is, Ober Shasaram Bath Mizah, Chomer Mizah. So you already see from the Chavetz Chaim, from the Chavetz Chaim's explanation, that there's levels. To move something in public domain, or even a semi-public, this Carmelis idea. So there, that's a harder thing for the rabbis to matter. So the only time they're going to matter something dangerous is if a rabbit, if there's multiple people who get damaged by this. That is sufficient, that's the level that one needs to matter it, to allow one to do that in Shabbos. But in the confines of one's home, there, you're not going to have a carrying issue. Unless maybe from, depending on your situation, as long as you have fences in your backyard. So you won't have an issue of carrying from the backyard to the front yard. No. Could be apartment buildings sometimes, different areas, okay? But within one's home, you're not going to have a carrying issue, pashtas, but you would have a muksa issue. Muksa, the Chavetz Chaim says, is a lesser degree of an isser than carrying in Shusar Abba or in a Carmelis. And thus, the Rabbanim will more makel and allow, even if it's just one, two people could potentially get damaged, Alpha Pekin, there's a heter of Muksa. Okay. Nice qualification of the Chavetz Chaim. One gets clarity in different levels of halacha. Just to come back with the muksa halachas first before we get back to more carrying and the like. When the Ramah says one would be allowed to move muksa, so the case he gave was you find glass. The Chafetz Chaim makes a point of saying earlier, Avon Hushel Cheres. Let's say it's not glass, it's pottery. Asul Fanoso, the Ein Matze Kol Kachezek. The Chafetz Chaim now starts distinguishing what material broke. Glass is very dangerous. Glass pierces very well. You have something broke. It's made of pottery. Not as sharp. Okay. No. It could be if you step on it in the wrong angle, it could hurt you too. But it's definitely not as potent, not as dangerous as glass. Zot the Chafetz Chaim, the Ramah picked his words precisely. There wouldn't be a heter tiltel for that. So now we not only have to weigh, you know, if it's in Rosh Hashanah Rabbin, we have to weigh who could get damaged. Is it just one individual or many people? Okay? And that's because the Chavetz Chaim told us because Rosh Hashanah Rabbin is a bigger isser. In one's own house, muksa, that's a lesser isser. You could be more makel. But there's still standards. It has to be specifically glass or something sharp like that. But pottery, which is not the same, not as bad, that's different. Now, the Chafetz Chaim does say, though, that this, when it comes to even pottery, something which would be also even faltal, there's still another halach and hilchos muksa. Maybe can't pick it up directly with one's hand, but there's a simple concept of tiltul min atzad. Tiltum min hatzad means I'm pushing it away, not in the most, you know, I'm not carrying it, I'm not taking it with my hand, I'm pushing away from my foot. So Post can talk about, you sweep it with the broom, also would have a din tiltum min hatzad. I can hear one arguing, what do you mean, it's in my hand, or it's the better way to do it, is with the broom. But that's still called, Post can say, that's what simple wouldn't call it. Says that's called tiltum min hatzad, and one would be allowed to do that even for pottery or anything. So again, just to clarify, if it's glass, you know, some people anyway sweep up glass, they don't want to touch it. But if it's glass, one could fully pick it up, take it, and put it away. If it's something not as sharp, you know, thumbtacks, I think, are like glass. That they're sharp, they have a very strong pointed edge, that's dangerous. But something less, you have a shard of pottery. So there, one could do tiltum min hatzad. They could sweep it away, they could push it with their feet away without actually picking it up. Now going back, let's go back to the Rishus HaRabim case. Right? So again, the Mechaber talked about you find a thorn in the Rishus HaRabim. So one would be allowed to carry that pachos, less than daud amos, step by step. One could fully carry it if it's just a carmelis, just a regular street. One would be allowed to carry it to avoid damage. So let's look for a moment in the Mishnah Berurah on your sheets, Ayin Hei. He writes, Das Rivash, a move about Magen Avram. The Magen Avram brings a Rishon to Rivash. Dimhaya Kotz Gadol, if it's a big thorn, a big piece of wood, Asa L'Taltala, then it'll be Asa for one to move it. Dibinatol Yachol Yizarmi, man, let's use it. Even the nearer the coat, it'll be easy to get around it because you see it. So just because you have something dangerous in the public domain, semi-public domain, doesn't mean it's motor free. And everyone agrees this is dangerous. And everyone agrees there's a problem there. You still may not be able to move it. It's only for something which is hard to avoid. It's something that's right there, you can see it and avoid it. Then one would not be allowed to move it. What's this based on? So it's a very interesting halacha. Actually, it's a shalach of Shuvas Rashba. And the Rashba bases it on Gemara Baba Kama, which I just recently came across. The Gemara is talking about someone left the pitcher in public domain. Someone else broke it. So the Gemara has a question. The person who broke it, we say, okay, enough to pay for it. You know, this guy left the pitcher in the public domain. You know, it's his fault. You broke it, you're potter. Frack the Gemara, towards the top of the Gemara there. Am I potter? People should look where they're going. The fact... You're right, the guy shouldn't have put a pitcher in the Rosh Hashanah. Not the smartest thing to do. But shouldn't the person look where he's going? Stop himself from getting damaged? So, why am I off the hook when I break something? So Gemara gives four answers to this question. First answer the Gemara gives, and some people might respond, this sounds like a nice Gemara answer. We're talking about a case where the entire public domain was filled with these things. In yeshiva, I would say this over, it was like, you know, other shtick. They filled up the entire street full of these things. There's nowhere to walk. Okay, so you broke something. It's one answer. I know, you're laughing. These cases don't happen. Okay, like Amara says, yeah, we're talking specifically about that case. Shmuel says, a more plausible case, talking about the nighttime, there wasn't good lighting, especially the streets of Muncie, they don't have street lamps, can't see things. Okay? It's understandable. You can't see where you're going. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, the Karen Zavis. We're talking about a case where the street turns quickly. It's a corner. There's no big mirror up. So you can't see what's lurking behind the corner. You stopped on it. You broke it. So the Gemara starts off giving three specific cases why there's an excuse for the guy to break it and not see where he's going. Obviously, all these answers of the Gemara agree with the premise. Of course, a person is supposed to look where he's going. He's walking down the street. Comes along, if you look, the bottom two lines of the Gemara. Amalei Rav Ava, Rav Ashi, Hachi Amar Marava. This is what they said in Eretz Yisrael. Bishmei De'ula, Afisha Ein Darken Shemini Olam Nizbonu Mizrachim. People don't pay attention when they walk in the street. You could check this. This is written in the Gemara a long time ago, before the advent of cell phones. The Gemara was mamish ahead of its times. The Gemara understood what is a funny nature of people. People don't pay attention when they walk in the street. It's nothing new. It might just be now that people have devices, they're more distracted. Everyone's walking around with those things in their ears. They're more distracted. I get it. But what the Gemara is saying is a general rule. People don't pay attention when they walk in the street. And therefore, if there's something in the street which is dangerous, Zok the Rashba, the Chazal got to figure this out. We got to be careful. People have to avoid it. People are not going to avoid it. Don't pay attention. And next thing they know, they're stepping on glass. Stepping on bubblegum. Stepping on all different things. People don't pay attention. They don't look where they're going. Well, it's good enough they don't bump into you. Let alone things on the street. To step in, that's dangerous. People don't pay attention. But, with that said, the Rivash still says we can make levels. Something small in the street. Yeah, there I grant you, people are not going to pay attention. A coat, a thorn, a thumbtack, a little shard of something. That's dangerous. But something bigger, people should realize and avoid. So if it's a bigger piece of wood, bigger piece of glass, there in the street, the Rivash would argue that to that degree, people pay attention. Just to support the Rivash's position further, right? We did see from the Gemara, now everyone agrees to this logic that people don't pay attention when they're walking the street. The first few answers of the Gemara took for granted a person is a functioning bar das. He has a mind, and even in the street, a person is supposed to be looking where he's going. There should be a sense of cognizance, of noticing where you are, and try to avoid danger. People should be paying attention. You're a mensch. You're expected to do, I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry, buddy, but this is our expectations. Ula does say, looks like, according to the Rashba, we possibly like that. But there's still room to say, okay, maybe that's for a smaller thing. But a bigger thing, one should be careful. Okay, so that's another qualification. And I'd like to go to one more area before we get down to practical cases of all different things. And one other area is the Bir Halacha over here. The Chafetz Chaim goes into greater depth understanding this Rivash. That was before we saw the Rivash's diyuk. Look, we would think anything in the public domain, people don't pay attention when they're walking. and everything is dangerous. And therefore, if there's any dangerous object, doesn't matter the size of the object, you could remove it, providing you follow the procedures. The Rivash came along and says, no, depends on the size. Bigger, smaller, small things you wouldn't avoid, but a big thing you could. So the Chafetz Chaim questions that. He says, not only are we talking about the Chafetz Chaim brings from this Magen Avraham, this Rivash, let's say there's a rock in the street. A big rock, not a little pebble, a big rock in the street, which is possible that people trip on and get damaged. What should one do? So the Rivash argues, if it's a big rock, now granted it could cause real damage, the guy trips on it, slams down onto the concrete, that's dangerous. But you know what? Big rocks, people should see, people should notice. And thus, you don't have to remove it. That's what Rivash argues. Now, for the record, it doesn't sound so simple. We don't find anywhere in Halacha that one's allowed to just remove rocks from the public domain. It's a pretty common situation. We don't find anywhere in Halacha that talks about a heter to just move rocks in Rosh Hashanah. So some people argue, hey, you know, that's something you could have done yesterday. They just got it today. They just got kicked there, you know. But the Chafetz Chaim explains eventually why is it that the heter, the Shulchan Aruch talks about, is only by a small shard of glass, a thorn, a thumbtack, but would not apply to a rock, to a bigger rock. Why? He says, and he asks even further, if you go through Masechta's Baba Kama, right, what's a pit? What's a bor b'shusharab? So one classic pit is, you know, there's a hole, which we'll get to, we talked about. You know, there's a grate open, someone could fall down, there's a manhole cover open, someone could fall down, that's a pit. But the Gemara in Baba Kama says, I'll give you other instances of pit. You have a rock. Someone trips in the rock and bangs in the ground. The Gemara says 100% that is a bar. If I put a rock, I have this big rock in my backyard, I put it into the public domain, someone trips in it, I'm chayav, I'm responsible, halachically. I put a rock in Rosh Hashanah, that's a mazik. So why is it that we don't find anywhere you're allowed to move rocks on Shabbos? So rocks are a perfect example of something that's really dangerous. Someone trips off a rock and falls and smashes his head. It's dangerous. The same way by a pit. Sometimes by a pit, people fall into the pit. But sometimes there's something where you trip on that. You know, there's some pit, there's some uneven ground. You trip on that, and now, you know, they bang themselves. So, the Chafetz Chaim gives an amazing, a very important distinction, a very interesting distinction. He writes, I'm reading like six lines from the bottom of the Bir Halacha. Nira, dilo itira b'shabes kim kotz. The rabbi is only permitted for you to move a thorn. Nesha alo ma'o lahazik. But ukitz achad shalom, because you're going to damage with the sharp part of that thorn. The sharp part of the glass. Masha inkin b'stam evan. It's not the same by a rock. Afil evan katan shi nir le'nayim. Even a small rock, which you can't see, should be the same as a thorn or a shard of glass. The aftal inyan nizikin amin da amno skin ma'asohu b'chol bar. Even though the Gemara Baba Kama specifically says a rock, a knapsack, something there in the public domain, someone could trip on, has the same halacha as a pit. Shamshani, it's different in Baba Kama. The Hechmira Torah B'Yosef, when it comes to Nezikin, the rabbis are very machmir. But as opposed to Hilchos Shabbos in danger, not as much. That's what he says. When it comes to damages, if you put the damage there, you put a rock in the public domain, on the street, someone get damaged by it, you left your knapsack by mistake there and someone tripped on it, sorry buddy, you're responsible for that. But when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos, and we're talking about, I guess, the potential of damage, we need more than just something which could lead to damage. We need a dangerous object. Remember earlier we said, in Hilchos Muksa, cheres, pottery. There's no heter to move that. What do you mean? Something could happen. Okay, could, but it's not the same. In order to move something on Shabbos, whether in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, street, the Carmelis, whether a muksa issue in your house, the object has to be defined as a dangerous object. Not just danger could come about through that object. And even if we say in Baba Kama, a rock is dangerous, that doesn't mean in Hilchos Shabbos we'll say a rock is dangerous. Fascinating distinction in halacha. And, you know, here we have, you know, just a simple case. You find something in your house, or there's something lying in the street. We have to be a maven to understand, okay, is that a dangerous object which presents itself as a clear and present danger to people? If the answer is yes, it's glass, it's thorns, it's something that has a very sharp point, mutter. That's where there's a heter. But something that you could imagine something happening, but that's not defined as dangerous, even if in Baba Kama it's called dangerous, but it has to be dangerous in Hilchos Shabbos. Baba Kama doesn't necessarily affect Hilchos Shabbos. Now, just as a mashal, I think you know, this is a good example of how in halacha, there, I see someone's bringing up, you know, what about the iser of lifnei iver, of leaving something in the street? Great point. 100% you're over an iser of lifnei iver. That's what Chazal talk about. Great point. Lifnei iver lo sitei mechshol. Don't put something in the street that someone could trip on. That's exactly what the Torah is talking about. Pashto says an iser deraisa of lifnei iver. And as we quoted from the Chafetz Chaim, in Baba Kama, we'll hold you responsible. If someone gets hurt after Shabbos, you could sue him. Sue him for damages. It's his pit. But that doesn't mean, though, in Hilchos Shabbos, we'll push off some Yisurim on Shabbos to deal with that right now. Because right now it doesn't present the same clear and present danger. After the damage happens, you're responsible. Or even before damage happens, you're responsible for pay either. But it's not the same in terms of violating Shabbos. So I think what you see from here is so many times we have to balance. It's not like a clear-cut thing. You know, we have to balance. In my mind, one of the biggest areas of balancing acts that we've been dealing with, you know, has been COVID. We spent over a year balancing, okay, halachas of health issues at the same time, so many other facets of our life. You know, of the most common halachas of going to shul, davening with a minyan, being able to go to yeshiva and learn. Not every dangerous situation is weighed the same. And especially now, coming out of COVID, slowly. You know, there's fears, there's clear and present danger, and there's things which are a little more removed. It's not a clear and present danger. This could lead to that, and to that, and to that. Okay, so you have to see. In Hilchos Shabbos, there's no heter to move to something which could lead to that. It has to be more than that. It has to be clear and present danger. Damage happens, a bubble comma, I'll send you the bill. I'm going to trace it back to you, 100%. But that doesn't mean, Hilchos Shabbos, I have clear and present danger. Because you're nervous every time there's a rock on the floor, doesn't make it mutter on Shabbos. No such heter. So this is a very, I think, important lesson of how to balance things. Now let me go through a few practical halachas that the poskim beyond the Shulchan Aruch, even beyond the Mishnah Berurah, talk about. What's considered hezika barabbah? Something that's possible for the masses to get damaged by. What are masses? So I found Shlomo Zalman Orbach in his sefer that highly quotes him, Shmir Shabbos Kalkoso, says, all you need for a rabbin is three people. If there's three people, you could have a mezumin. Three people could get damaged by it. One would be allowed to move it. We're talking in the public domain or in the street. A carmelist, one would be allowed to move it just for three people. You live on a nice cul-de-sac, there's only a few people walking down your block the whole Shabbos. As long as three people, these halachas would apply. I saw a nice diuk from Simple Bunim Kohn that from the Chaya Adam it's mashma, that if there's one child here, that's sufficient for all these halachas. Hezekah Barabin sounds like the understanding is. Hezekah Barabin is, look, there's one person left out that he's going to get damaged. Three people, the odds of someone getting damaged are stronger. It's not that you need to, need to damage three people together. You need a three-car, pileup. No. When there's more people, it just increases the odds that something's going to happen. All you need is one kid to increase those odds. Kids, if people don't pay attention when they walk in the street, let alone kids. Kids don't pay attention, I'm not sure, not just when they walk in the street. And thus, by a kid, there's real danger that things can happen. And just one kid in the house, if there's something in the street, something dangerous, there's room for one to take it away, to move it. I just made me think of another case. Now these things happen sometimes, right? All of a sudden one time, I guess the last person who changed the light bulb, or even if you put it in well, if you live in the West Coast and you have earthquakes, or you live in Florida, I don't know, you get your hurricanes, things shake. But let's say a glass bulb fell down. A glass bulb, a fluorescent bulb, is on the floor. Okay, it didn't shatter, it's whole. But we all know glass bulbs, fluorescent bulbs, are very easy to break. Would one be allowed to move that on Shabbos? So I saw the poskim here point out, similar to the discussion we just had before, that one would not be allowed to move it. Because right now it's not dangerous. It's sort of the sex cycle. You first, it has to break. And then when it breaks, Someone has to come and get damaged by it. But you're still two steps removed. Now, any good mother should be nervous of that scenario. I see this glass. It's possible. Okay, but you have no hatred straight up.
Start needing the place.
Yeah, okay. One could, you know, do tilt them in outside and push it to the side. That would be okay. But just to pick it up and move it, post can say, it's not clear and present danger yet. So thus one can't move it. Here's another scenario. Let's say, you know, it happens to people. People get older, right? They have their pill collection. So some of them keep it in their Fort Knox, their weekly long pill cases, right? But even over there, you know, you flip it open, you know, these plastic things, all of a sudden it goes flying. Now your pills are like somewhere in the room and they're lying on the floor. You find pills. Now, one, your pills are not muksa because they probably have a good purpose. You're taking them for a reason. Okay. But let's say there are pills, it's not your pills. You had a guest in your home, after they leave, it's Shabbos, and you find pills on the floor. Obviously, if somebody would take those pills, especially they're colored, they could look like candy, it's dangerous for kids. So I found with Nissen Karelitz from Bnei Brak, it says 100% mutter for one to pick up, move those pills, because they're dangerous. Chas Hashem, someone takes that. It's a dangerous thing. One would be allowed to move pills on Shabbos to prevent someone from taking them. That's considered a clear and present danger.
Only if there's kids around, right?
Yeah, only if there are kids around. Right. You don't think your wife is just going to get, you know, hungry. Now, till now, let me do one more. We talked before about an uncovered pit. Now this gets tricky. So what do? Right? You have this manhole cover on the street that's open. The Con Ed guys left right before Shabbos. They left it open. It's not fully covered. And, you know, the person walks in it, they could fall in. You have a store, a grate of a store, open to a cellar. So here's what gets tricky. For sure, by a cover. If you put that cover back on Shabbos, there might be issues of bona, of building. And the poskim, now this gets trickier. You know, is that full-fledged bona? Is that a drabanan? So I found the poskim debate this. Rav Vosner, Shiva Levi, is nervous of a problem of bona in this situation. I saw Rav Nissen Karelitz is quoted being less fearful of that scenario. But there could be an issue here of bona. You're covering up this thing, and that would be a problem. However, a nice chop, that's only because the Rabbanim gave clear heterim. They gave heterim when it comes to muksa, when it comes to havaras dalet amos brishos harabim or karmelis. They didn't necessarily give a heter to bona. But one would be, in those scenarios, if you put up some signage, if you put up something to warn people not to go there, that would be okay on Shabbos. You move a palatal sign, you know, the warning, you know, signs. You move that over there and put it there. Just to warn people, which in general is also a good answer for many of these cases. Even if the case itself you can't move, but you could put up some, you cover it up, you block it off. In many cases, that will be okay. Again, you can't take a chair out of the Rosh Hashanah to do that unless you pachas gedalot amos. But on a karmelis, maybe you would be allowed. It's a dangerous thing that you fear people are going to fall in. But just one more area I'd like to touch on. is till now we've been talking about classic dangerous things. What about things which are not dangerous physically, but they're dangerous spiritually? The case I saw discussed was, we know there are halachas about one cutting one's fingernails. And Chazal, the Gemara says, if one doesn't dispose of their fingernail clippings well, it's a dangerous thing. Chas v'shalom, a woman who is expecting would step on them, that could be a cause of a miscarriage.
It's physical.
You know, now really, one could, you know, that needs explanation itself, but we believe a woman got damaged just because of that. Okay, you know, there are many cheshbonos, but it is something, it's physical, but the damage is a spiritual damage.
A miscarriage.
Yeah, all these things are physical, things physically are going to go wrong, but the nature of the danger is a spiritual danger. A guy wouldn't understand what's so. You want me to move fingernail clippings? What's that about? So that's a spiritual danger. Would one be allowed to move that on Shabbos? Well, Yashuv, I found, has multiple tshuvas. Actually, with some Hasidic Sharepas who were very nervous about such situations. Well, Yashuv only mattered it, you know, to carry pathos midal amos. Rav Nissen Karel, it says some further, a different psak. He says the halachas we're talking about only apply to physical danger, not to spiritual danger. You know, I was thinking, talk about this case, I didn't see the post talk about it, but it's a similar case. We walk down the street, and right there, lying there in the street, is a very, illicit picture. And you see lots of from kids are going to pass by that. They're going to see that. Could one move down in Shabbos? It sounds like, you know, we're not dealing with physical danger, we're dealing with spiritual danger. Rav Nissen Karel, it seemed to say that, look, these are terrible, only apply to physical danger, not spiritual danger. So, yeah, not so poshut. What could one do in those situations?
Cover
with dirt. Yeah, maybe. Gotta go, you take it away. Enjoy. But all in all, what do we walk away, I hope, from today's share? Is first, we should pay more attention when we walk down the street. But the Gemara does say it's hard to do. So we see that there are heterim for moving dangerous objects in Shabbos, but there are a lot of distinctions. Are we dealing with an issue of carrying in a public or semi-public domain? Are we dealing with mutzah? Are we dealing with something which is clear and present danger? Is it sharp or this, or something less than that? And Be'ezus Hashem, the more clarity that we have in halacha, the easier it will be when we have these scenarios unfortunately present itself in our everyday lives to come to Be'ez Hashem the right conclusion of what to do. Thank you very much for listening, and once again, we look forward to welcoming whoever is available and able to come next week to restart our Shir live. It'll be a wonderful opportunity to see everybody. Thank you very much.